What's good, everyone? Ball Don't Lie Australia. This is episode 74, coming straight to you. I'm your host, Dan Dinellan. Joining me, as he does every week, is Mel Crawford.
The big dog. How you doing over there, buddy?
Rested, feeling good. School holidays for us. Couple of nice wins on the weekend for our Caps. I won't talk about State of Origin because this isn't a footy podcast, so we don't need to get into that anyway.
It's all No need.
Apparently there was some game on, but yep. Yeah.
Didn't go well.
Well, depending what side you're on.
Yep, my side, the important side, didn't go well.
All right.
We need to stop going to Perth, seriously.
So I guess it's all about these 2 weeks as a teacher, being able to unwind and relax and do 1,000 things at home.
There you go. Yeah, work harder in the off season than you do in the regular season.
Oh, keeps your peak performance.
Perpetually tired, yep. I feel you.
It's the world we live in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, lots of things happening. You know, we're starting to do a few other gigs around the place. Pretty lucky to have some opportunities. Calling two of the Indonesian men's national team games.
One of us definitely did do that, yes.
And, you know, it would have already passed, but calling the finals for the junior state championships this week as well. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, we've got the bronze medal game and the gold medal game, which, yeah. You know, as you say, should be good.
It would have already occurred by now, so I hope you tuned in.
Spartans v. Rocky in the gold medal.
Looking forward to it. Should be a good one. But lots to come up on the show here this week. We're going to be diving into the couple of NBL and WNBL free agent moves. A couple things to look at there. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the NBA draft and the potential winners and losers, you know, according to us, of course. So, you know, we might have differing opinions to you or other media or even each other. And that's what, you know, talk shows are all about. So we'll get to that a bit later on. Before, of course, we jump into the NBL 1 North round 8, which was the rival round, Mel.
Yes, definitely was.
Was it round 10? I can't keep up anymore. So much NBL 1 all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. It's week after week. Keeps coming round again and again.
Yeah, so it just passed the halfway point there. So it was round 9.
Of course it was.
Yep. Just whatever I say, just think something different. That's generally the right answer. But just past the halfway point, we're going to dive into having a look at sort of the top candidates for the MVP for women and men as we see it. And, you know, not necessarily crystal balling and making a selection, but just nominating, of putting a few names out there that have stood out so far. Because, I mean, if we don't make a prediction, we can't be wrong. As I said last week, sit on that fence, baby. Sit on that fence.
How'd you go with your NBA predictions and your NBL predictions?
Oh, look, I think we both won some and lost some. It's fair to say. So, you know, yep. It is what it is.
That's typically what is said when I win more than, you know, when I win more than you.
I haven't done the maths. So if you have, all good.
Oh, I think I got
the man that claims to have no spare time.
I think I got like one category and that was enough.
All right, let's dive into the NBL free agency. Look, couple little signings here. Sydney Kings have picked up Jackson McCoy. He's just coming over from playing in Croatia, averaging 11-4-4. So that's another guard they're adding to the roster there. Hopefully to play alongside Jalen Adams, of course. You know, my favorite player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm the only one, but... Oh, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Kings retool with a couple pieces already out, you know, possibly out whenever, you know, with the Xavier Cooks thing. So they've got to rethink a few things there.
Yeah, definitely do. Because, you know, they're going to want to run this back. They've got season two of that documentary to make, and you know, they're going to hope for the they're going to want to go straight back, run this right back in. But they're going to have to definitely going to have to adjust to what's in front of them, because there's going to be some changes.
Mm. Now, I said Tassie last week, Joshua Adams not returning. Mm-hmm. Floated. Well, we didn't say the team, but we said it's close to the studio that he's roomed with. Still no further news on that front, but fingers are still crossed. But Tassie seemed to have found their replacement in Milton Doyle. He did play 10 NBA games for Brooklyn a while back now. We're going back to 2018, but he does have some NBA experience.
Mm-hmm.
And has just averaged 12-3-3 over in Turkey. And most importantly, as I've brought up on the show when we had good friend Vic Law on, this is important. He's a Windy City guy. He's from Chicago. He's going to bring that grit and grind that all these Chicago hoopers just seem to have. And that fits the bill with this Tassie culture, I think.
It'll definitely need to. Like, he'll need to have that, you know, that bit about him if he's going to fit in with the roster they have. Because, as you say, they are, you know, exactly that. That's part of their makeup. That's part of their DNA so far. It wasn't their first season anyway.
Mm. So, be interesting to see how he fits there. And next one, look, the next two names we bring up, the pronunciation may be incorrect. So, apologies if we do so. But Josh Duarch, he signed with Melbourne United, and he's actually from Melbourne. He was part of the NBA Global Academy, and he's just played a year over at Iona College. So Melbourne United have made a few moves now. Of course, we had Malawach from the Salties, Darwin in the NBL 1 North, and now Duarch here. So, you know, again, retooling, bringing in some youth as well, which will be interesting to see how and where they fit, given their skill sets that they bring.
Yes, it definitely will be interesting with JLA going. You know, a couple of older guards. How are things actually going to work out on the court? Because they got painfully, well, they made it to the finals and then you know, stumbled and fell short. But, you know, in the NBL, it's top four, not top eight. So that's certainly not a waste of time season. But what are they going to come back with now? It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. But moving on, that's about all from the NBL. It's been quite slow. Still a lot of free agents out there. So there'll be some more to come, of course. So WNBL, just another three here just to keep things nice and even, or odd in this case. Now, again, if we get this pronunciation wrong, apologies, giving it a red-hot crack here. But Hannah Shervin, coming over from the States, you know, coming from the Minnesota Lynx. So didn't sign with the Perth Lynx. Of course. Who's suiting up for Mel?
She's going to be suiting up for the Flames and apparently has basically said, I'll just do whatever the team needs.
Mm.
So, you know, but as you say, she is coming from Minnesota, a Minnesota native, and, you know, coming from one of the more winning basketball teams from Minnesota as well.
Yeah, and at 6'3 and playing sort of that forward position, it kind of fills a need there. You know, they're rounding out the roster nicely. They've got one of the most dynamic duos in the backcourt already.
Mm-hmm.
So shoring up the front court.
Who are basically in preseason training right now and have been for the last month and a half.
We'll get on to one of them a bit later on yet again.
Mm-hmm.
But one in, one out for Sydney. Lauren Mansfield, who we just saw a fortnight ago, taking on our caps with her Gold Coast team. She's heading over to the Adelaide Lightning. So from Sydney to Adelaide, you know, that brings in another guard. You know, we saw it in person. Fantastic playmaker, willing shot taker, willing and able shot taker, I should say. And, you know, Adelaide, at times, were one of the stronger teams in the comp, and this is only going to make them stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a great move. And I've left this last one for you, Mal, because, you know, I know your affection for KG after predicting her MVP-type season that was going to be.
Yeah, you know, it's just what I do, mate.
It's funny how things go full circle because you predicted her to be the MVP, and now she's off to join the MVP.
Well, I figured as soon as I heard you saying something nice, I figured, you know, it couldn't last, and boom, it didn't.
Hey, I did not pick Maley to be the MVP of the league. I'm not making any claims there. But it's, you know, I was going to get you to speak to down in Bendigo. The roster's pretty clean canvas at the moment.
Mm.
You've got a literal MVP and an MVP type player now on this, now signed, ready to go on that team.
Yeah, you've got someone who, you know, amazing talent, hasn't got that championship experience yet. At that level, and you've got KG joining, Kelsey Griffin obviously joining Bendigo, you know, who obviously has that winning experience getting towards the end of her career. Let's be honest about that. But she's going to come in and join, and hopefully they can just, you know, get on the same page early and really lock down and put something together, because it's the one thing that, you know, has come out in our different interviews with some of the people that were attached to the Canberra Capitals. It was that team culture that they had. So if Kelsey Griffin can bring that with her to the Spirit, and they, you know, can replicate even 50% of that, look out.
Yeah, and of course, with Roof heading up north to Townsville, that leaves that sort of front court for Canberra looking pretty bare. But, you know, signings to come. I'm sure there's a plan in place. We'll see what happens there. Moving on, the NBA draft. Thought we'd go through some teams that we thought were winners and teams, you know, losers is a rough word, I guess, but not winners.
Yeah.
Or teams that we thought could have done a bit better. So, a couple of shout-outs as winners. Number one, Luke Travers.
Yeah.
And that beautiful mullet.
Oh.
Not sure how that's going to fit in Cleveland. I've never been there, but, you know, he's got that.
I'll be disappointed if it goes early. If it disappears, it'd be like, oh.
He's sort of got that blue collar kind of work ethic though, and that's going to fit that team just perfectly. How much court time he gets, if they sign him to a two-way, I'm not really sure on the specifics there, but he got drafted to a team in the NBA, which is fantastic. Also got, of course, Hugo Besson.
Yep.
He was, you know, what they call Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick. Although, you know, a sort of a once-in-a-lifetime Mr. Irrelevant, because he was pick 58 due to the Bucks and the Bulls having to forfeit their second-round picks. So, you know, you could say, well, any other year, maybe he would have been the third last pick. You never know.
You never know, but, you know, think back to look, it's hard not to think back to his prime there with the Boston Celtics, but IT was the last pick, Isaiah Thomas. You know, not the one that played for Detroit back in the day, but he was the last pick. There's been a couple that have made it through. It's not just, you know, dead space. Oh, yep, that name, sure, why not? Let's take a punt. You know, sometimes it comes off. This is the problem with the draft. So many factors go into it.
Look, there's another international player or next star from the NBL that got drafted. I've sort of lumped that in with a team that'll be coming up soon, so I'll leave that for soon. But also our other rising superstar Aussie, Dyson Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of chat of him going 7 to the Trailblazers, but that pick came and went. The Blazers took a flyer on Shaedon Sharpe, who I'm not ready to put down as a winner or loser. Like, I believe he was the number one prospect in his high school class, but then didn't play a game in college. So it's almost like a Kyrie situation, but probably not as good as Kyrie. And Kyrie did play a few games for Duke there. So there was some evidence, but, you know, that's a real big swing for Portland, and it could work out fantastic. Or, you know, I think Sharp's floor is a decent player. So, you know, his potential is all-star, obviously, but...
Yeah, but Portland have a long and illustrious record of picking guys in the draft that, you know, have long, brilliant careers and certainly don't pick up injuries. And, you know, they're just a perfect fit for almost everyone who goes there. So,
yeah, and maybe they've finally, well, not finally, but learned from past errors and pick the best player available, not the best fit for the team. And, you know, we don't need to get into that tonight. But for Dyson to go to the Pelicans, you know, he's going to get on the ball because, you know, I don't think long-term they want Devontae Graham and CJ McCollum handling the ball all the time. Dyson gives them, you know, a bigger version of McCollum in terms of playmaking and to run alongside Zion if, you know, if these photos that have come out of Zion from Nike aren't totally photoshopped,
yeah,
he's right. Looking incredible. So
yes, he is.
You know, big got, JV.
Got that lovely spray mist going and, oh, you know, just the muscles rippling in the light. It's, you know, magnificent looking. It doesn't look anything like those tracksuit, you know, almost the other way inflated photos we saw not that long ago.
Well, I mean, you know, and just a, obviously Brandon Ingram, and, you know, be someone good to learn off, you know, for his on-ball scoring and ability to move off the ball as well. So I think it's the perfect landing spot for Dyson. He's not going to a rubbish team where it's expected for him to carry the team. He's going to be learning from these guys and gaining that experience from good veterans like CJ McCollum, head of the Players Association.
Mm.
Like, he's going to look after him, you know, and I just think it's such a perfect situation for him. I've got him down as a big winner, not just because we're biased Aussies, but I think that situation we spoke about,
although this, that helps.
Well, we spoke about it last week with Wiggins, didn't we? And I think this situation for Dyson is perfect. So, big winner for me. In terms of teams, Mal.
Yes.
I've got Detroit down as a winner. Now, with a caveat, as I like to do all the time.
Yeah, here comes the fence.
Well, the guy that makes the pick gets all the credit, but they've landed Ivy, who, you know, people had mocked at fourth and possibly hanging with that top three, and he lands in their lap. The guy making the pick gets all the credit, but essentially this player landed in their lap, but they're a winner because they got him. I'm not saying that full credit to the GM and what a fantastic pick, but they're a winner because they got Ivy. So he's an electric guard. You know, he kind of tries to build off the Ja Morant, Westbrook, D-Rose kind of thing. Not a great shooter. Neither was Morant coming out of college. Nor is he a great shooter now, but it's definitely developing. And Jars has finished his third year. So I think Ivy will get a chance to do that. But it's also going to free up Cade Cunningham and his responsibilities, get him off the ball a little bit more, and they can be dynamic together. Like, I think Ivy's going to come straight in. He'll be the starting point guard. And look, I'm calling it. I know we do predictions. This, like, obviously the Grizz will be my number one every year, but Detroit's going to be right up there in my league pass teams this year because I think this young core that they're building around, you know, we've got to add in Duren as well, who is just a defensive beast. They're big contenders to bring in DeAndre Ayton and definitely big contenders. They're already discussing or it's out there that Miles Bridges is on their radar. Mm-hmm. I mean, this team flying up and down the court, and we haven't even mentioned Sadiq Bey, who had a 50-point game at the end of the year. Like, there's a solid core here in Detroit, and it's not a typical Detroit team as the franchise is known to have, but there's potential for them to be a bit of an excitement machine moving forward.
Yeah, look, I've got them in that same sort of bracket. You know, they've come away in a winning position after the draft. You know, it's not NBA careers and everything aren't built just purely and simply on draft night, but they've come out and, they've come out looking better than anyone else with the decisions they've made on that particular night and in those couple of days leading up to it as well. So, you know, for mind, yeah, I agree with that. Detroit.
I mean, even if they manage to just bring in Miles Bridges, they're a play-in contender, even with a team full of first, second, third-year players. If they had somehow get Ayton as well, without giving up too much, like maybe just future picks or whatever, like I'd put them in the, you know, 6-10 bracket rather than the, you know.
Yeah, that midfield.
10, 11, 12, yeah.
Could go literally either way depending on chemistry and fit and all that kind of stuff.
So, but good young core moving forward. I like what they're doing. So, I don't know if we have any Detroit fans out there. I'd say they might be OG, old school fans.
Feels like it's been a while.
Either the IT days or the Ben Wallace days, but shout out if you're out there. Next winner I had is the Houston Rockets, which not sure if many people were expecting this. And again, it's no credit to the GM. Like, obviously they made the right pick, but it was the best player available. In my opinion, even as a Duke fan, probably the Evan Mobley of this draft. Okay, he might not win Rookie of the Year. He might not be the best player this year, but he's got the highest ceiling in the draft. Now, you know, people may debate that with Mobley and Cade, of course. And I think this could be the same thing between Jabari Smith and Banchero. Chet Holmgren we'll get to soon. But I believed that Jabari Smith was the number one pick. And that's coming from a Duke fan. So 6'10", 17-7 averages, and he shoots 42% from deep on like a solid amount of attempts as well. This isn't just, you know, one of two per game or something. He's a big dude that can create shots. That pick and roll with Jalen Green is going to be something to watch because they're going to do some damage. Kevin Porter, if he's still around as well. I also like what else they've brought in because they really struggled defensively. And mid-first round there, they've taken Tari Eason, who's one of the best defenders in this draft, averaged 2 steals and a block over this past season. Not a lights-out shooter, but the form looks okay and the percentages aren't horrible. So if you've got a player that can fly around and put the body on the line, play defense, the shot can come. The shot can come. And it's not horrible. Like, it's better than Ivy's if that's your starting point.
And most of these guys in this age bracket haven't completely finished either growing or filling out. You know, they're still either wiry or literally shorter than they're going to be over the next, you know, year and a bit. So, you know, their shot percentage, you know, as you say, as long as it looks fairly natural and doesn't need to be completely be rebuilt, you know, that stuff can come.
And look, I don't know a lot about him other than it's a cool name, but Ty Washington, they took number 29. Most mocks had him in that 18 to 22 range. So, you know, I put it down as, you know, teams passed on him for whatever reason. And if you can pick up someone, you know, roughly 10 picks later than where they're mocked to go, then, you know, that's just another piece to why you're a winner of this draft.
Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Yeah, why not? All right. had to do it because they were involved in so much.
Yep.
Like usual, the Grizzlies.
Aye.
They've traded up in the draft for the fourth straight year. Mm-hmm. Fourth straight time. So they're trading up, but also taking guys ahead of where they're mocked to go, which a lot of people, you know, at the time or walking away from the draft go, huh? And then come the end of the season, they go, ah, I get it. So they moved up for Brandon Clark. They moved up for Desmond Bane. They moved up for Zaire Williams. And at the end of each of those seasons, there weren't many. I don't know of anyone that was like, that was a terrible pick. Most people were quite the opposite, actually. So, you know, benefit of the doubt until it's not earned. But, you know, Jake LaRavia was picked at 19 there. And, or 18, I can't remember. I'm a big fan, big fan.
That's coming,
I believe too. It was 19. Uh-huh. Well, they did so many trades. And he was mocked late first round, even in the second round. Mm-hmm. But when you look at him, he's a big wing that can play make as well, averaged nearly two steals and a block per game, just like Tari Eason, but shot nearly 40% from deep. And he's a three-year college guy, as is David Roddy, who they traded – essentially traded D'Anthony Melton to Philly to go and grab. Very interesting build, this guy. He's a 6'5" guard, 250 pounds. So, you know.
My kind of guy.
He is going to be just an absolute immovable object, but averaging 19-7 in his past season as well. I've got a bit of a theory.
Yep.
Or a hope, I guess you can make it.
Sprinkle some truth on it. I like it.
Yep. Look, initially there was Kevin Durant murmurs going on. That was all squash today, which we'll get to pretty soon. Mm-hmm. I think there's a reason why the Grizzlies are taking experienced or veteran college players on cheap deals that can contribute right away. And clearing up cap space or ready to move off of guys that they're going to have to pay in the next year or two to potentially bring in that third guy. So no idea who it is or what it is. Mm-hmm. It might even just be, you know, a couple of 20 mil per year players. Not quite sure, but the Grizzlies, they've made it clear that they're not retooling. They're building to win, and I think they're a team to keep an eye on in this offseason for signings, for trades, for signing trades, or what have you.
There comes the hope. There's the hope right at the end.
Look, I think it was made clear in the playoffs that Jar and Jaren are not going to win a chip together on their own. And, you know, he was hurt to some degree, but can Bane be that third best player on a championship team? Can Jaren be the second best player on a championship team? These are questions that the Grizzlies front office have to ask and look at, you know, who else can they bring in? They've got lots of draft picks. They've got lots of young talent. Just keep an eye out. Mm. And probably nothing will happen because I've said that, but keep an eye out. Keep an eye out.
But they have done a good job of, with their positions in the draft, building quality, not wasting their picks. You know, genuinely, their stuff looks genuinely thought out to what they need for their system. People who are actually going to fit. And, I'm happy to give them the benefit of the doubt because, let's be honest, the last few years, they've done quite well with,
Ever since the new front office came in, Zach Lyman, I mean, he gets my benefit of the doubt until it screws up. And this is now year four and he's yet to screw up. So we'll see how we go. The last team I've got down is a winner.
Even if he does, you'll still give him. Oh, I'll give you a chance.
He gets one chance. Yeah. I mean, the previous front office had way too many chances. The Thunder. Now, got them down as winners based on potential here. Not as...
potential meme value or potential...
Oh, I mean, there's so much going on here. I saw the media put out the thin towers. Uh-huh. You've got the two Jalen Williams they just drafted in the same draft. They actually recreated the Spider-Man meme at a photo shoot. Chet Holmgren, he was always going to be their pick. They were never thinking Banchero or Jabari Smith. All they wanted was Chet Holmgren. And look, I'm not a hater, but I'm not sold on the kid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to see it on the court, what it looks like. I mean, 14-9 are his averages at Gonzaga. He does shoot a good clip from deep, 39%. So a guy his height, I think he's 7'2", I believe, with like a 30-foot wingspan or something. And he shoots a good clip from the outside. So they're going to use him. It'll be interesting to see if he becomes their power forward or a center. You know, can he guard those big bigs? You know, the Aitons, the Embiids, can he stop Giannis? I mean, luckily he's in the West and there's not a lot of them, you know, but they do have to play some games against the East as well. And it'll be interesting to see. And obviously the potential's there. As I said, I'm not hating on the kid. There's a lot of potential there, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I have to wait and see.
Need to see some ticker.
Yeah, and just how his game translates. I think it's just the number one question on most people's mind is how is his frame and game going to translate to the, you know, the standards of the NBA? And I think he's going to be thrown straight into the starting lineup and expected to play. And as I said, they're winners based on potential because they've gone and grabbed our other NBL next star. In Usman Dang. And they traded up to get him from New York. So had a slow start in the NBL. Didn't get a lot of time there, but you know, there's a few performances towards the end of the season. He had a 20-point game against Cairns and an 18-4 steal game against Cairns. His probably best game was against the Phoenix, 22-6-6 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's 6'9 with a 7-foot wingspan, and he's only 19 years old. So, again, it's potential. And how's his game going to translate in the NBA? What are their plans for him? Is he a small ball four? Is he a conventional, you know, small forward? Be interesting to see where they use him. Will he start? Probably not. I'd say Dort keeps his place there. Poku will continue to develop. But you've got that core there already of SGA, of course, our guy, Josh Giddey. You know, there's good potential there. And I hope it does work out for them because, you know, they've been hoarding all these draft picks. They're starting to use them for trades or players. And based on potential, there's something there.
There is. There's also, they also have the potential to put this whole thing on ice for one more year and go around again, and it's like, oh my god, seriously, that's like classic Simpsons meme of, come on, let's go.
Well, they've got a hoard of draft picks, and there's a certain big guy that they might not mind pairing up with Chet next year. So, I mean, it's just the fight for the number one pick is going to be ferocious this year. It'll probably be a more heated topic than, you know, the play-in tournament, I think. And no matter what you are offering, you are not getting that number one pick off whatever team gets it. I can guarantee you that right now.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. I'll gamble responsibly, but name a price, I'll put it down. That number one pick will not get traded for good reason. All right. A couple of teams that left me with a, huh?
Uh-huh.
Two of the usual teams that leave you with a, huh?
Yep.
Number one, the Knicks.
Oh, have we not seen this dance before?
Huh? I'm not even going to try and break down this Knicks, Pistons, Hornets extravaganza that went down on the day.
Allow me.
Okay.
Knicks have basically put all their eggs in the free agency basket, cleared space, and yeah, they've done this so many times before and gotten stuck with it. And it feels like they haven't really, you know, done anything this year and traded away their options and haven't got a whole lot back. Like, they've got, you know, three heavily protected picks. Yeah, OKC's worst, but
they're all lottery protected, I believe.
Yeah. So
and they just gave away their number 11 pick this year.
Yeah.
For those picks.
To basically clear cap space, and they don't really have anything amazing.
Or was this called us from Tibbs? Like, we all know he doesn't want to play young guys. Well, he's got his guys, and they play 36 minutes a game. 36 to 40 minutes a game. He's like, no. If we pick 11, I'm going to have to play that guy. No.
Yeah, well.
Get him out of here.
If we're doing a prediction show, how long until Tibbs gets the
well,
from this one, I mean.
This Jalen Brunson noise is just getting louder and louder, isn't it? It's almost like it's the biggest free agent signing of all time. I think it's just the lack of free agents out there. But this whole New York and Jalen Brunson and having to know his family members that are on the staff and his ties to New York and, oh, I'm already over it. And free agency doesn't open for another 3 days.
Yeah.
So, but all signs are pointing towards him signing on that New York Knicks dotted line on the day. So.
Yeah. Amari Stoudemire.
Well, I mean, is that the guy you want to spend all your free agent money on? And you've got Brunson, Barrett, and Randall, who just had a really great year, followed by a, you know, an up and down year, you know, bit of awful interaction year with the fans.
Awful.
Not year. Always, not positive.
Hero to villain across two seasons.
You know, they had these big plans for Kyrie, which we can now address, are gone because, you know, this whole thing went off that Kyrie has requested a sign and trade. Here's my list of teams. Oh, only one of them wants me and it's a mid-level contract. Don't worry about it, guys. I'll just re-sign here. You know, I'm good. So he's remaining in Brooklyn. The Kevin Durant rumors just died real quick after that. And I'm sure in a couple of months when Kyrie's eligible to be traded, it'll all kick back off again and we'll see how we go from there. But
just feel the whole thing just felt like a classic Kyrie thing. You got however many clicks or noise or whatever it was it felt like he needed, and then just does whatever he wants anyway.
I got super excited because he was leaving, Durant was leaving, Memphis were given the second best odds to land Durant. I was in heaven. I was just like, oh, this is gonna be great. A couple of hours later, Kyrie has opted into his contract, and that was the end of all of that.
Oh.
All that hullabalooza, all gone.
Ah, well, could be worse.
Life goes on.
But yeah, the Knicks are very good at this. Clearing cap space, and then they jump into the musical chairs of free agency, and then the music stops, and there's no one really left for them. And they tend to just sign whoever's available to a max and just...
Well, they considered themselves in the initial Kyrie and KD sweepstakes. So, you know, they for half a second thought they were in with a chance again here. But, you know, most likely they get Jalen Brunson and...
Oh, to be clear, they always think they're in with a chance to sign everybody. That's the great thing about the ownership.
It'll be interesting to see if they unload Fournier as well, who's got a pretty big contract on him. So, and they might have to get this Brunson deal done, but we'll see what happens. Highly unlikely the Mavs are going to be able to afford to keep Brunson. Again, we'll see. Especially with Christian Wood heading there now, which was a good pickup. Kings. We mentioned before the Blazers back in the day, picking for fit rather than the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
So at number four, everyone thought that Ivy was going to Sacramento. Everyone thought that every NBA franchise was on the phone trying to get that pick. The Kings obviously didn't like what they were offered, because I would assume they were really only taking calls from 5, 6, 7 to ensure that they got the guy they ended up getting, and that's Keegan Murray, who, you know, the Kings are getting ripped on for not taking Ivy, who would be another guard to go along with Fox and Davion Mitchell, but I want to see how this plays out. I like this kid. He's 6'8". He averaged 23-8 in this past season of college. Shoots 39% from deep. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we give him a chance. I mean, you know, all signs were pointing, you know, in the media towards Ivy going to be the better player long term, but in a league, you know, all the best teams are led by wings, except the Warriors. But you look at just about any other of those elite teams, they're all led by wings. And this versatile bucket at 6'8", there could be something there. And I mean, with elite playmakers in Fox and his big guy Sabonis, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to get buckets. Mm. Now, I'm definitely not sitting here saying, oh, Sacramento is going to be, you know, finish sixth in the West. But I don't...
On one draft pick, that'd be ballsy.
They're put in this category because, I guess, they're almost in an in-between category. Like, they're not a winner, but not a loser. Until we let this thing play out. Now, don't get me wrong. In 3 years, you might call me out and say, oh, Keegan Murray, where's he playing now? I don't know. I want to see this kid. I think I like what I saw on his tapes. I'm not going to pretend I watched all his games, but I watched the highlight packages and stuff like that.
And you can't sit here and completely write off these kids that are drafted by these, frankly, awful franchises at times, because that's not their fault.
Mm.
Like, you know, you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick your situation. You know, everyone goes back and sort of talks about that. Not everybody, but that, you know, Steph Curry being picked where he was. He was passed over by a few teams that would not have been a good fit for him and his, you know, ankle issues and things that he had. That's going to be the same for a lot of kids and a lot of picks over the journey. Is sometimes you're going to get passed over by a team that's not a good fit, and sometimes you're going to get passed over by a team that, you know, might have been absolutely magical, sliding doors sort of moment, but, you know, you don't know until you go. And look, the kid might be great and the Kings might ruin it. Kid might be great and the Kings might, you know, this might be a turning point for the Kings.
Yeah, there was a certain all-star big guy there, you know, in the past decade that didn't quite pan out.
Yeah, well, one of their big issues was the owner who couldn't keep his nose out. So, you know.
But, of course, we saw the media jump all over this. So, again, not taking any credit for this upcoming, I guess, stat of sorts. But, you know, media left, right and center. You've seen it. You've heard it. Say, oh, it's the Kings draft curse. They picked Jimmy Fredette, the pick before Klay Thompson. They picked Thomas Robinson, the pick before Damian Lillard. And then they picked Marvin Bagley before Trey, Jaren Jackson and Luka Doncic. Thinking about it, I'm not sure they got crucified for that Bagley pick at the time.
I don't remember them getting crucified for that one.
Obviously, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And yeah. It's like, oh my God. I don't remember the Fredette pick. Like, I know he was highly coveted as a bucket out of college. So I'm not sure if they were, you know, crucified at the time. Same with Thomas Robinson and Dame. You know, I don't have vivid memories of these drafts and I wasn't going to go looking up articles, but obviously hindsight's a beautiful thing. I mean, I could sit here and go deeper than that on the Grizzlies and their draft history. It's way worse than that. but recency bias is a thing, and because the Grizz...
So is their finals record.
Well, because the Grizz, you know, have drafted well the last few years, they don't have that reputation. But between Mike Conley, and Dylan Brooks, about 10 years, not one single drafted player earned a second contract. So that tells you all you need to know. And, you know, I think the Kings got picked on a little bit here, but, you know, I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt. I want to see Keegan Murray on the court and make a decision, you know, once we've seen him play. And who knows with Ivy, you know, we'll have to see how he pans out as well. The important thing is, though, the young talent that's already across the league, and then you chuck in this draft, which was considered a weaker draft in the media, I think the league's in good hands. Like,
yeah,
so much young stars. So we're in a good place in the NBA, and we'll just kick back and watch. We've got Summer League coming up. You know, I like to tune into a few of those games, see these kids and what they can do. So that'll be something worth watching.
Yeah, kids literally playing it for their careers.
Mm.
And for some, sadly, this will be the pinnacle.
Yeah, and look, you obviously get to see some of our NBL guys. They go over there and play as well. So that's always good to see. But anything else to add on the NBA, Mel, before we move on? Any other winners or losers you wanted to bring up?
Winners or losers? Nah.
Look, winners or not winners, I should say.
Winners or not winners? Nah, I think we covered it all.
Yep.
You know, realistically, keep to those main points. You know, a couple of teams did quite well, all things considered. A couple of teams, you just scratch your head and they seems to be every year. But
yeah, we're not going to sit here and do a report card for every team. You can jump online and find 1,000 of those by analysts that do the draft and watch college games for a living. So they're just our thoughts on some of the major things, and feel free to go look up those extensive guides and report cards if you want to.
Bull don't lie.
Never does. Time to come back to that league we love, where they play that sweet, sweet D. Plus one.
Mm.
Up north. NBL yeah. One North.
Whew. Gonna sound that triple-double button off a couple times here.
Woo-woo.
Almost. Just want to shout out, I know we don't usually cover the other leagues in depth in the NBL One, but shout out to down in the NBL One Central, the South Australia division, of course, for Norwood, Alex Wilson, for the Norwood women, 14 points.
Yep.
13 rebounds.
Yep.
15 assists. 9 steals.
Oh.
Sound that alarm bell. What a game.
Quadruple double alert.
Oh, my goodness. What a performance. So that should be turning some heads.
Yeah.
Big shout out, Alex Wilson. Just wanted to do that before we jump into our NBL One North here. Let's cover our Caps games first, as we do each week. Just the one game this round. And, you know, bit of luck involved here. We were taking on the Darwin Salties in their third day of three games straight. So back end of their road trip. Our women, they took down Darwin 87-74.
In the Kabila Woff game.
Yes, yes. And, of course, our first triple-double alert of the NBL North this week. Whoop, whoop. Abby Cabillo, 13 points, 11 rebounds, and 14 assists, orchestrating the offense out there. Bronte Cork, whose confidence is just growing and growing each week, and we've been noticing that and discussing it on the calls as well, adds another 23 points with some fantastic outside shooting yet again. And Captain Cameron does her thing, just double-double.
Yep.
Doing her thing. As she does every game. So, you know, this one ended up a bit closer than it was looking at times. Darwin really fought to the end here. And, of course, captain and center Chelsea Brook was a big part of that. 26 points, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Played almost every minute of this game, even on the third straight game of the weekend. So, shout out to Chelsea Brook and the Salties in general. You know, those road trips aren't easy, but it's what helps keep the league going, and we do appreciate the things they do there.
Definitely. And I had a very quick chat with Abby Cubillo after the game. He just couldn't wipe the smile off her face. She was very happy and proud that she was able to play against her sister. And she was even more happy that her team came away with the W. So, which, you know, that's just...
That seems normal.
Yep, that's completely normal, you know, civil rivalry alive and well in the Cubillo house. But one thing that should get praise is the Cubillo family for putting together, half Capitals logo on shirt, and then the other half was the Salties. Like, they actually looked really cool.
Yeah,
definitely. Really cool. So shout out to the Cubillo clan for putting those together.
Yeah, for sure. All right, and our men obviously taking on Darwin as well. And look, end up being a blowout in the end, 100-77 in a win for our Caps men. And that's their third straight game of 100. And almost last week, the men beat the Spartans 102-77 before beating Darwin 100-77 this week. So... I don't know. We'll take a 98-77 against Townsville this weekend if they want to just drop by two. That's okay.
Yeah, even it should be right.
But considering this is a team that's lost their leading scorer, or you know, who has been one of their leading scorers for the past couple of seasons, they're still picking up wins and they're scoring in bunches.
Mm.
I mean, I know Max McKinnon's a big part of that, which, you know, might not be around forever, but it's also coming with the confidence that Lockie Dent is growing with as well. You know, he had 5 threes in this game for 24 points. Max did his thing, as he's been doing all season. And we said it on the broadcast, and just, you know, for box score watchers, you probably just scroll past Ben Volkman's name on this box score, but the 10 points, 8 rebounds and 5 blocks whilst not missing a single shot. And it's more the eye test as well of what he contributed at both ends. We said on the call, it's one of his best performances of the season, if not the best. Not necessarily because the stats jump out and say it's not like he had 20 points, 20 rebounds, but his impact at both ends of the floor, I just thought he had a very strong game in this one.
Yeah, he had a very strong week, to be honest. He was very strong for the Caps against the Indonesian national team as well. Mm. And it was just – it was a calm, collected response in that game, which is a sort of element you don't always see because obviously, you know, Benny's a big boy inside, tends to get a little bit of aggressive treatment from some of the other bigger gentlemen on the court and, you know, often gets fouled or bumped or calls aren't made and things like that. And you know, genuinely plays off that emotion as well. But, in that Indonesia game especially, you know, he didn't necessarily, you know, really get riled up. It was really calm and collected. And he then followed that form into this Salties game, which was really good to see.
All right. Well, I did note down the field goal percentage. Our Capitals men did shoot 54% from the field, which is quite high in this league.
Yeah.
And Darwin just very much looked like the tired team on the back end of a back-to-back-to-back. 35% from the field. You're not going to win many games with that field goal percentage. So, you know, it's only their third loss of the season, and it's for a reason. They're a quality side. They'd won their 2 games the 2 days before, and, you know, you could probably – we give full credit to our Caps, of course, because they executed their game plan perfectly. But, you know, definitely don't lose hope in this Darwin team because they're very talented.
Oh, no.
And they can get the job done. All right, let's whip around the league. And we'll kick things off with a name I believe we've brought up just about, if not every week.
Pretty much.
And it's going to have to start with another whoop, 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 triple-double alert. Tiana Mangakehia against the very same team we were just talking about, the Darwin Salties on Friday night, 24, 11, and 12.
And this wasn't a win. This was more of a demolition. of the Sultans.
Running mate Shiloh back there. And, you know, the whole Wizards team played really well. And that's reflected in, you know, you don't get 12 assists if your team's not making shots or finishing the looks that you give them. So
yeah,
Wizards look back to their best.
That particular game was over early.
Mm.
Yeah, almost double, literally 2 points away from doubling. It was at 60 to 120. It was almost perfect, but the maths just didn't quite get on board.
So Shane Heal and Sydney Flames fans, you've got an excitement package heading your way this WNBL season. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, yes. This is the preseason warm-up that I've been talking about, and it's been great to watch.
The Ipswich Force win their third game in a row. The women, as they start just creeping up that ladder a bit after a slow start to the season.
Mm.
We had Brianna Rollison, 22-16 in their win against the Roar. So, you know, as I said, slow start to the season for the Force, but, you know, starting to creep on up now. Three straight wins in a league like this. You know, we were talking last week how little separates teams in both conferences. You string, you know, 3-4 games together, suddenly you're right in the mix. So,
and Switch did this last year too. Like, you know, they got together as a unit and you started to feel that vibe coming along. So that's obviously, you know, happening again for the women's team. And, you know, it's great to see.
All right. Our next big stat pop comes from good friend of the show.
Mm.
Someone we're going to talk about in a bit more depth soon.
Yep.
And just like Tiana, someone we bring up every week here, it's Michaela Roof, 29 points. And no, she didn't play two games this week. I've written down 29 and 27. Yep. That's 29 points and 27 rebounds in the win versus the Pirates. So doing her MVP chances no harm in this game. Also wanted to shout out friend of the show, Indy Bowyer, who dropped 21 points off the bench.
Off the bench.
And this is a young future star of the league. Don't get anything wrong about that. She's coming. And that's a big performance for her. And Logan just continue to roll. They're just,
yep,
they look virtually unstoppable right now. And, you know, this is a team that they've played together for a couple years now. They all know each other well. They're such a great unit. They're going to be tough to beat.
And they need to be for Michaela's sake because she wrote some checks with what she said about the NBL and South.
Yeah.
which, look, honestly, at the moment, I think her team is more than willing and capable of cashing. You know, they're looking rock solid at the moment.
Thunderous. All right, another friend of the show. We've been waiting for one of these big games. Here it is. Lara McSpadden, 27-16. Did come in a loss to Mackay, though, in the Central Queensland rival matchup there. But top scorer for Mackay was a Capitals player not 12 months ago, Grace George. So shout out to Grace. Doing good things there with Mackay, leading them to win over Rocky. But great game from McSpadden as well, who's capable of doing this on a weekly basis if she gets a roll on.
Yeah, well, she showed that last year.
Mm.
Her numbers last year were unbelievable. And, you know, when she came to town for the Caps, we saw it firsthand and it was like, yeah, wow.
Mm.
Wow, genuinely.
All right, a name, again, we've brought up a few times this season and last year. Maddie Rocci, 23-8-7, was on triple-double alert. Didn't quite get there, but throw in four steals as well, yeah, in the win against the Sunshine Coast Phoenix. Obviously, the battle of the Northern Coast there. It's rival round now. We've got to try and make this what it is.
Yep.
So we
had the Battle of the South Coasts too. So.
Yes, we did. But great all-round performance there from Rocci. And then finally, Townsville. Last week, we said help is on the way. Watch out. And in the Battle of the North, Townsville just blew Cairns away off the court. Steph Reed, we might mention her again soon. Good friend of the show. 19 points, 14 assists. Yeah. Courtney Woods, 39 points, just bombing away from three. And Alana Smith, the aforementioned help that was on the way.
Indeed.
31 and 14. Got player of the week in her first game in there. Not a bad way to introduce yourself. Townsville.
It's just that easy when you're that good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is what it is. When you got all that experience, it's going to help you out in a league like the NBL 1. 15 threes Townsville hit. So that's what's coming to Brisbane to take on the Caps this weekend, which we'll get to later. But that team, with the addition of Alana Smith, is just – they're looking tough. And they've been a bit up and down, but I think it's pretty up from here.
Yeah. It's hard not to think you're bang on with that one, to be honest. You know, as you say, they have been a little bit up and down. We're a little bit concerned over the last, you know, last few rounds. I haven't been certainly as consistent.
Well, they've only got three losses, but it was three consecutive losses. Yeah. I was like, oh, no, what's going on here?
Yeah.
But that ship seems to be steadied.
Yeah. Yeah, a win like this will steady any ship.
So, as I mentioned earlier, like a few wins here can move you up and down the ladder pretty quick. And we're over halfway into the season, and first to seventh is separated by just two wins. So you string a couple of wins or losses together and you can jump way up, way down. And, yeah, things can happen real quick. So you got to be switched on and ready to play every single week.
Yes, as the as the Logan Thunder men found out the hard way last year in the first round of the playoffs, they look to be going, without too much hassle, they look like they were going to be genuine grand final contenders and knocked out. They had just one bad game.
Mm.
And, yeah, as you say, two wins. So, similar situation. You've got to be on top of your game, especially as this thing starts to play out. And I think we're going to see more and more teams across the NBL 1 North fighting right till the end. Just for that for and against, even if they're down, like there's going to be implications to all the all these baskets and empty sets towards the end of the game just aren't going to work for some of these teams down the stretch.
All right, mid-season MVP for the NBL 1 North women. I don't know if I'm brave enough to pick one, but here are my four candidates that I'm putting forward. Please feel free to add or remove if you're brave. Any of these.
Remove will be brave. Yes, go on.
So this is in no particular order as well, by the way. Tiana Munga-Kahia averaging from Northside Wizards, averaging 31, 5 and 6 with four steals as well.
Mm.
I mean, that's going to be pretty hard to knock off, in my opinion. But wait till you hear some of these other ones.
Yeah.
So Steph Reed from Townsville, you know, pretty well-rounded figures here, 23, 7, and 6. Team record came into effect for me here, you know, is the engine of a team that's right up the top of the standings there, looking like one of the better teams going around. Mm-hmm. You know, will the stats get, you know, chewed up a little bit between her, Woods, and Alana Smith? Likely. So, you know, is that going to be maintained? We'll see. But, you know, averaging those six assists, she just had 14 on the weekend. So, you know, some stats might go up, some might go down. We'll see how that turns out. And then we've got the two bigs, Roof and George.
Yep.
So it's hard enough to pick between these two, let alone pick between all four of these players. But Michaela Roof, Logan Thunder, averaging 22, 19, 19 rebounds and 3 assists per game on an undefeated Logan team. And then you have Kayla George, who, you know, Cairns I had high hopes for them, and of course they can still get there, but not quite up the top of the standings where I expected them to be. But Kayla doing her bit, absolutely. 22 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, and nearly 2 blocks per game. So, you know, good luck picking one of them. Are you brave enough, Mount?
Would you like me to rank them, in my opinion?
Feel free.
All right.
You want to put yourself on wax, you can do that.
Yeah, look, let's do it. Why not?
You do you. You
know, why not, hey? We've talked about it before. Obviously, I have, you know, I have some big bias because I've always liked bigs. I always played as a small big.
Pretended, yeah.
Righto, Tykes. Seen your game lately. Look, for me, it's really hard to go past Roof, Mikayla Roof, as a number one. You know, she's doing that big body stuff. Team's right at the top. And, you know, while she gets a bit of help, she stands out every game for obvious reasons. But then I then have personally Tiana in number two. Cannot, you know, I am denied on being number one. Some of those no-look assists, not just no-look passes, no-look assists that she had against the Salties were just ridiculous. And, you know, the game that she's got going with Shiloh when those two are working, you know, off each other, wowzers. I've then got Kayla in number three.
Well, she leads the league in points per game.
Mm.
She's third or fourth, I believe, in assists, and then leads the league in steals as well.
Yeah.
So doing bits out there.
Exactly. And then I had Kayla in three and then Steph Reid in four. Purely and simply for Steph Reid, because I think she gets a little bit overshadowed by some of her teammates. They're going to, you know, continue to eat into that, eat into her, you know, stats and things like that, which are going to
Woods averaging 27 points is not going to help Steph Reid's case. But, you know, as the point guard setting the table there, you know, I think she's doing enough to be in the conversation for sure.
Oh, definitely. No doubt about that. And her career arc from what we've seen over the two seasons in NBL 1 is just, it feels astronomical. Like she's really gotten a roll on. Whatever she's doing up there with Shannon Seabomb is just working an absolute treat, because, you know, well, she played for the Opals.
Yeah. You know,
just literally weeks ago was up there playing for the Opals. So, yeah, definitely deserves to be in the conversation for sure. But, yeah, if I had to rank them, that's how I'd rank them. I'm sure other people have differing opinions.
All right, let's move on to the men's.
Didn't want to put yours down a wax or no?
Oh, look, I probably don't steer too far away from what you said, to be honest. Picking between Tiana and Roof would kill me. They're 1A, 1B for me at the moment.
Yeah.
You can put them in whatever order you want. But yeah, they're 1A, 1B, clearly.
Like I said, for me, it's that big bias, but then again, in Tiana, I see all the...
I'll take the guard bias.
In Tiana, I see all those skills that I always wanted, like her amazing dribble, her...
I thought that was every player we watch. You feel like that, Mel? But...
Wow. that felt personal. That wasn't Bantz. That was... Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that's a wrap, folks.
There will be
see
no. There will be no Studio 3.
All right, let's head over to the men's side of things.
Let's do it.
The NBL 1 North men here in Rival Round. The Wizards went down to the Salties in you know, Darwin's first of three.
Mm-hmm.
Although Bullets' new DP was Player of the Week last week. Might have been up there for it if they won this as well. 30 points, 11 rebounds. Tad Duffelmeyer was on. Whoop. We just do that as a triple-double alert.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. No, that's triple double done.
Oh God.
Yep. You only get one for an alert.
Okay.
So Duffelmeyer 29-8. So close.
Yeah.
So close, but not quite. Pretty similar to Matty Rocci on the other side there. Melowatch, 27 points. Friend of the show, Jaron Jameson, 26 points there. Pretty well-rounded onslaught from Darwin in this one.
Look, for the Wizards too, you've got to remember Pinder, McCarron out, Kevin White in for his first game, and the end of the third quarter, they were pretty much back to square after the Salties got it out to a little bit of an early 10-15-ish sort of feel of a lead, and then felt like the Wizards were just a step too far, and they brought it all the way back at the end of the third, and then Salties just got it done in that fourth with just really good basketball and a lot of depth.
All right, and as we head to Ipswich versus the Roar, what was this, East versus West, I think it was?
Oh, probably,
makes
yeah.
Makes sense,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yep.
No massive stat lines in this one, and just wanted to point out the ending of it in case you missed it. You should go check it out. And I tip of the cap to the commentators here. Don't know their names, unfortunately, but shout out. There was a timeout. Game's on the line. Ipswich have the ball with, just over a second on the clock, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the commentary team, one of them's talking about, if you're the Roar, perhaps you come out in a zone here. And, I assume it's, the old protect the basket at all costs.
Yeah.
If I'm coaching, maybe I'm not in a zone, but I've got my big under the hoop. and they also then mentioned just towards the end of the timeout that, hey, Isaac White's got the whiteboard here, and he was giving direct instructions to two players that were listening very intently. One of them was Mr. Jeffries, former Capital. Inbounds play happens. Isaac White starts on the low block, sort of drags half the Raw team with him past the top of the key, past the three-point line. And Jeffries just steps from the free throw line to in the keyway, and there is not a single jersey from either team within 2 or 3 meters of him, I don't think. Like, it was, you'd be less open in a layup line for warm-up, and all he had to do was just lay it in. So,
which thankfully he did, because...
Oh, no. Oh, no. Look, I've missed game winners before. Never a layup, but I assume that would hurt.
You've missed them.
Yeah, look, made some, but I've definitely missed some.
Let me know what that feels like.
Hey, at least I'm trusted to take them.
Hey, I've made game winners, buddy. Winners.
But, shout out to the Force for getting the win there. And shout out to fellow commentators, because I thought their, their thoughts during that timeout and what they provided was good stuff. So, shout out. All right. Here in Rockies, loss to Mackay. McCarthy, 29-19. Just putting it up. And the Galloways. Jalen Galloway, 29 points. Kyron Galloway, 26-19 in the Central Queensland Derby there. So,
almost that big beef.
Yeah, some big stat line. Almost had double beef. Double beef. Shout out, no dunks. Another player I wanted to bring up, this isn't going to jump off the page at anyone really, but just because we're sort of a Brisbane local pod here, Cody Statman, who's just signed with the Bullets. He's a Cairns boy playing for Cairns, and in the Battle of the North up there, had a 25-point game shooting 5 of 8 from deep against Townsville. So, he's a young guy. He's got plenty of upside, he's versatile, he's got length, he can shoot. It's worthwhile keeping an eye on him because he's going to be suiting up for the Bullets this upcoming season. Finally, the Battle of the South Coast, which we sort of brought up before. A couple of Bullet teammates from this past season going at it. Tamari Wignis, 25 points. Jordan Hunter, 25 points in 16. They went down, like many before them,
yep,
to the Gold Coast Rollers, and one friend of the show, Jason Kadee,
yep, yep,
said, Wigness, I see you're 25, and I raise you 35 points. Uh-huh. And got the job done yet again for the Gold Coast. So the Gold Coast are just rolling.
Just keep rolling, 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 rolling.
Mm. They seem to be willing and able to do that. So they're obviously the team to watch in the – well, sorry, one of the teams to watch in the men's conference there. But they've proven very difficult to beat all season.
As we found out the hard way from Capital's point of view.
Yes, yes. yeah, that was a bit of a Kadee show there.
Yeah, even when he stepped off the court in the third. Just.
Now, we did this for the women just before, so I guess it's only fair we do it for the men as well. Mid-season MVP, feel free to put yourself on wax again if you want. Here's the three names I've got. Let me know if I've missed one.
Uh-huh.
And people out there, if you think we've missed any names in either of these lists, let us know. Again, I take record into account here, but also, obviously, the counting stats are important. One, friend of the show, Jeremy Kendall. Leading this Logan team, leading the league in scoring, 31, 5 assists, and nearly 2 steals per game. Yet again, just hashtag league this man. Like, I'll keep saying it till the cows come home. League this man.
Yep.
Yep. And nothing more needs to be said on that.
Yep.
Kuat Noi, Rip City. He's just come in and, you know, Might be leaving Taipan's fans a bit sad, but Sydney Kings fans very happy because he's averaging 29 and 13 boards since he's joined Rip there. And they're going to be a team, I think, come finals time, they're going to be tough to beat. They're going to be quite a talented team there. And, of course, we just mentioned him, the engine that's keeping this Gold Coast Rollers team going. One friend of the show, Jason Kadee, 25, 6, and 7 averages for the season there. So, look, Mel, I've given you 2 guards and a big, so maybe I've made this easy for you, but...
You sure have.
Do you want to...
Yeah, hey. I'll Jar Morant this and run up that chimney. Look, seen all three of these... all three of the guys you mentioned have come to the Cap Dome. This season already. Jeremy Kendall, he's my number one. He just lights up the court. You know, you watch him play and it's like, wow. Mm. And especially live, that adds an element to it. Number two, I'm going to go with Jason Kadee. You know, he's having himself a season. He can step back when he needs to. When other players are firing, he can step back. He can also step up. He can do what needs to be done. And, you know, yeah, just, again, having himself a season on the back of another really great NBL 1 season last year, but still. And Noi I have in third. I was wildly impressed when he came in. He is huge when you see him live.
Oh, jeez.
And just, you know.
Isn't he ever?
But he wasn't just a big for the sake of being big. Mm. He actually had some movement about him, was able to get around, things like that. But, yeah, I'm going to put it as Kendall 1, Kadee 2, and Noi on 3.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. There it is. I'll do my usual fence sit.
There you go.
I'd probably agree, but once again, I've got Kendall Kadee 1A, 1B, so I wouldn't be furious whichever way you rank them. But to me, they're the top two this season.
Look, and it's hard not to, you know, really have strong feelings for Kadee. Because we, you know, watch all those bullet games and stuff like that, and he's been around for so long. And we've had both him and Kendall on the show too, so they both get that friends of the show, a little bit of extra love, but they also don't need it because their games are just standing out above the rest of a really solid league this year.
Yeah, and look, it's so tight. Again, Gold Coast Rollers, one loss. They're sitting at the top there. Mackay second on three. They could have claim to their own MVP, someone I didn't bring up earlier. But I don't know if they've had any full standout to be where they are. They sort of do it by committee because there's so much talent on that roster. But other than Gold Coast, like you're talking 3, 4, 5 losses separates a large chunk of the ladder there. So Mackay's on 3, Darwin 3, Northside 3, Rip 3, Phoenix 4, Logan 4. It's so close. A couple of wins or losses either way. And as Rocky's finding out at the moment, and you could be sliding up, down, all over the shop. I love how tight this competition is. But, yeah, can't wait for finals. It's going to be exciting. But we have to wait because we're only just gone past the halfway mark. So this week, though, Mel, we're back at Orchardflower, back at the Cap Dome. Mm-hmm. It's been a long stretch of home games, but
it is
two weekends to go.
2 weekends, and then we can kick back on the weekend and just
watch at home.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah, but we'll still watch the Caps, but just, you know, we'll do it at home and
of course. More
comfortable seats.
We are back this Saturday night. We welcome Townsville. They're going to be doing the 3-3 just like Darwin did.
Yep.
So catching them on the second game, which, you know, we'll see how that turns out. So got a Townsville women's and men's team coming in. The women tip off at 5. The men are at 7. You can catch them live on the NBL One app, NBL website, and we'll be calling it. So it'll be good fun.
Yeah, it'll be great.
All right, that's a wrap on free agency, the NBA draft, the NBL One North. One important question, Mal.
Yes.
Lost in transit last week.
Yes.
Did the Cards arrive for this week?
The Cards have arrived. It's a different pack. I've given up on that other pack. They're gone.
Okay.
But that's okay because I, on the back of Lauren Jackson's return, I've got a Australian NBL one pack, NBL pack from 94. So I thought we might do just a cheeky 2-on-2 draft, close out the month.
Yep. Definitely was not watching NBL at 4 years old.
You say that, but this first card, I reckon you this name you're going to be aware of.
All right.
You're going to be aware of. All right. So normally in Crack'em, I'll just read the back of the cards, but when we do draft, we just read them out, go through them, and then we both make a selection from there. Now, I do believe last time we did a draft, I believe, was it you went – You had the first pick twice in a row because we had a bit of a kerfuffle around who was actually around to pick against.
Sure, mate. Knock yourself out.
But anyway, first card. It's not a bad one. One Ricky Grace for the Wildcats in the black and gold with slight bit of red on that one. Slight bit of red.
One of the greatest players the league has seen.
Brad Williams in one of those classic Kings jerseys.
Not to be confused with Brad Williamson, of course.
Then we've got Chris Steele with an E.
Oh, Steely.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Knights for North Melbourne. Tim Morrissey for the Kings.
Ooh.
Dean McDonald for the Hawks. Oh, it would have been too much to ask for, but that's okay. We've got an Opals card here. Unfortunately, it's not that Opal. It is Robin Maher. And then we have, then we, oh, well the yeah, righto. There's, here's an interesting card. Here's one we've been waiting for. The Grey Mamba himself.
Ooh.
One Andrew Gaze.
Stop it.
For the Tiki Tigers. There we go. And then, oh, what a card to finish. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do this card. It's a Brisbane Bullets card. It's Heal and Loggins. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, I feel like you can pick that card, but that's your two.
That's your two. Yeah, yeah. That's going to be your two. Interesting. All right. Well, I guess that leaves me with the decision of whether I want Gazy or Heal.
I feel like one of us is leaving with two cards, one of us is leaving with one
card. Yeah.
You have the first pick, so treat yourself.
Ah, look. Oh, that's tough. That is tough. That is really tough.
Never know. I might throw a Brad Williams and a Ryan Knight your way. See what happens.
Yeah, righto. Your smack talk is awful. Look, I'm going to have to do it. Give me Andrew Gaze. I'm going to take Gazy. I'm going to take Gazy in that one.
All right.
Over to you, Tugs. And the major reason I take Gazy is just I was actually watching the NBL back when him, Copeland, Bradkey, and the cast of, you know, all those other players he had with him at the time were just balling out back in those early 90s.
Well, do I want to take Ricky Grace and then we both pick one of these other other cards? Look, Leap and Leroy, Hammer Heel,
yeah,
with the frosted tips. Of course, yeah. I've spoken about that in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, not saying no to that. You can have your Ricky Grace. I'm going Leaping and Hammer.
And that's exactly the way I'm going to go. I'm going to take Gazy and Ricky Grace. Basically, yeah, with those two players and those two teams, that almost wrapped up like a huge chunk of the 90s NBL championships, you know, right there. So, look, I'm happy with my choice. I'm happy with my choice, but I could also see people, you know, going the other way. And look, I'd be honestly okay with that. Heal and Loggins.
I think it'd be the right choice.
Righto, Tiger.
Good pack, though. Good pack.
Yeah, banger pack.
Solid stuff in there. Got an opal. Love that.
Yep.
All right. Well, cool. We'll throw that up on the socials at some point over the next week, and you can vote away on what squad would beat the other in a 2-on-2. All right, before we wrap things up now, of course, we have your little segment we like to finish off with.
Yes, the Machination of Mal. Now, this week, I was actually reminded that, you know, this crazy thing called life, you cannot do it on your own. Sometimes you need to reach out and get some help. And for this week's Caps game, I actually had to do that. Normally my gorgeous wife steps up and takes our little one and, you know, sorts out the home front while I'm off doing the Caps games. But this week she had something that she committed to. And then unfortunately, just with the floods and everything that happened earlier, our roster, our home game schedule changed. And all of a sudden it was, oh, yep, you've already committed to that, haven't you? Oh, okay, all right. Well, I can't just cancel your plans for you. That's not fair. Mm. You know, so we need to get in some help here, and we've been able to lean on some family to come in and take care of the little ones. But, you know, they were also totally okay to do that. So my sort of advice is, reach out and ask for help of, you know, people you love and people you trust when you need it. Pretty simple. Pretty simple this week.
All right. I like it. I like it. Well, that's a wrap, folks. We've made it to the end of another episode. It's quite a lot to cover, actually. Mm. So between now and next week, NBA free agency will open up. I'm sure there'll be a bunch to talk about there. There's got to be some bombs coming in the NBL and WNBL soon. And of course, we'll be here to wrap up the NBL 1 North round 10 that was.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to all of that. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, remember to jump on, you know, whatever platform you're listening to right now, of course, and subscribe. But then hit us on the socials, Facebook and Instagram. We appreciate the likes, follows, and Mal's favorite thing, the good old share. So hit all those buttons for us. We really appreciate it. We will be back same time next week. Until then, just remember, that ball don't lie.
It never does.